I think he was a little upset with me.
Yeah. So what? He was texting some random dude for like 2 hours and didn't know who the hell he was. Probably had like a, you know, a big fucking gay boner for him or something, you know? Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 26 for Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me, as usual, is my friend Ken.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Man, it's cold, homie.
Yeah.
Cold. I got like 3 inches of snow just this afternoon. This is bullshit. I'm in Texas. It's not supposed to be doing this.
Oh, that's crazy. It was actually pretty warm today. Well, for most of the day.
Yeah.
Here in New Mexico.
Screw off.
Yeah. Well, see, we had weird weather today, man. It was warm, like really warm, really nice, beautiful day. And then sometime this afternoon, it just got really cold. The wind started blowing. Then we got rain from hell. And then it all went away again. It was really strange.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but we didn't get inches and inches of snow like you did, apparently.
Yeah, well, they actually said that it was going to snow, but it wasn't going to stick because the ground wasn't going to get cold enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the rain that we were getting actually started freezing in air. And snow forms in the clouds and falls. Rain that freezes on its way down is just icicles pelting you in the face.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so once the icicles pelting you in the face started piling up, well, the snow came, and then it just started piling on top of that. So the ground temperature didn't really even have much of an effect. So now we got all the snow on the ground. We got late reporting tomorrow, and that's good because I got beer.
You know, speaking of beer, I just took a swig of this one here. It's a Hopalicious from Ale Asylum, and it tastes like a Tootsie Roll.
What?
Yeah. I don't recall it tasting like that, but I'm going to... You know what? Hold on. Let me check.
Nothing makes better radio than watching you drink beer.
Tastes like a Tootsie Roll. So, yeah.
Very cool.
There's my beer review of the week.
Beer, 3 stars. As a candy, 5 stars.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, man. So I'm guessing that you're taking part in Mustache March this year because your face looks just dirty as all snot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a caterpillar crawling across my upper lip.
Yeah.
It started crawling across there, I don't know, a few days ago. What's today, the 4th? Yeah, about 3.5 days ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how long it goes. Normally, I last the entire month of March, but about 2 weeks in, I can't stand it and just cannot wait until April so I can shave it off. But I usually last. This is my last Mustache March. Well, as a member of the military, which is where Mustache March really matters, I guess. Not that it really matters, but kind of matters. Yeah, I'm going to try to stick it out. I know I'm going to hate it, though.
I did Mustache March last year, and I was deployed. And last year was the year that... was it the Secretary of the Defense or of the Air Force or whoever it was came out and said, yeah, we should be celebrating Mustache March more often, or, you know, more people should be taking part in all that. Whatever.
At least once a year.
Yeah. And so I just let mine grow. Like I did the full money. Now the spirit of Mustache March is, to celebrate one of the Air Force founders, I say our, but it was an Air Force founder that would let his mustache grow way beyond where it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a tribute. So I just let my junk go. I it was going down the sides. It was going, it was just, you know, doing whatever. And I kept getting yelled at by it. And I was like, well, that's the whole spirit. And I'm deployed. Like, why do you care? You know? And I don't want to say it cut my spirit, because I actually kept my mustache all the way through to May.
Oh, wow. Overachiever.
Yeah. I figured I'd gone that far, you know. What it really comes down to is I just hate hair.
Yeah, right.
So.
Oh, man. Talking about people yelling at you in a deployed location reminds me of the uniform police. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're at a deployed location, and everybody's bored, and they have nothing to do, so they go around yelling at people for wearing the wrong color socks or... you know, you're whatever. You're not exactly in accordance with AFI 36-2903 or whatever your service's appearance reg is.
3510.
Yeah. Whoa, that's old school. Man, yeah, it hasn't been called 3510 for at least two decades.
I don't know when it went out. I don't know when they went to the new AFI system, but it was just prior to us coming in 95. Yep. So
exactly.
And I say just prior. It could have been 5 years before that, but, you know, military moves slowly.
Right. Yes. Usually, yeah.
So everybody called the 3510 when we came in. We were like, what?
Yeah, it's just like CBPO, what we call MPF, or actually now it's MPS.
CBPO, Commissary BX Post Office.
Yep. Oh man, so yeah
it's, now it's called MPS, the Military Personnel Servicing.
I think it's just section. I think the S is section, right? The
section
F was
military
flight.
Personnel section.
Yeah, because the F was flight. I think S is section.
I don't know. I know those people. They helped me out process. Speaking of which, I got everything turned in today for my out processing so that I could go and have my orders published to go to OSON. So all that got taken care of. This is my quick update. And I'm just going to go ahead and put her on blast. All right? You ready for this? I'm going to drop a name.
Oh, okay.
One each. Oh, man. You know what? I hope I get her rank right. One each senior airman, Sienna Benson. Benson? Man, I don't remember her name for shit. Like, it was there all day long. Anyway, my outbound counselor, she pretty much rocks. Like, I went in there and I was missing a few things, and I knew what I was missing. And she was like, okay, well, let's just get this and get this and get this. I went in there ultra organized. I had my little app. The audio listeners never got to hear me review. The video listeners got punished with that review. And it's called OmniFocus. It's pretty amazing. But I've got all that laid out and everything else. And I go in there and I'm checking stuff off as I'm handing it to her. I'm writing down dates on my checklist. Like, I am just ultra organized, you know. And she's keeping completely in stride with me. It's like, holy shit, this girl's got her shit together. And it was just awesome to have that kind of experience as one of my final experiences here at DIAS, because my previous experiences with the MPF, CBPO, MPS, whatever,
uh-huh,
have not been that accommodating.
Mm.
So it was pretty awesome. I'll get her name right in the show notes. I think she's Senior Airman Sienna Benson. I don't know, one of the two.
Anyway, the cool chick that works at MPS.
Yeah. The chick that's always. I mean, I go up there and she's like always humping. Man, she's always getting her job done. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
so I appreciate it, and I hope anybody else with the last name of L and through, I don't know, like R or something like that. Yeah, man, she's on top of it.
Right on.
So,
speaking of humping, actually, that's a very poor transition.
I'm pretty sure that anytime the word humping is part of your transition, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, no, see, I was going to talk about my PT test, and then I like, wait a minute, the double entendre is, yeah, it's too strong.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
no.
Yeah, you're burying yourself too deep to come out of it at that point.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, shit.
So yes, but no, yesterday I had my final PT test in the military. It was pretty awesome.
How'd that go?
Oh, dude.
It was a pass, and that's what matters,
exactly.
Right?
I passed. I'm done. But something interesting about it, I've gone 20 years in the military, and I've never once ever been on a physical profile until about...
Which is pretty much the opposite of me.
Yeah. Well, until... That was true until about 3 days ago, 2 days ago. Monday, I got issued a profile. Somehow, over the last several months, I screwed my shoulder up. Probably doing karate. I don't really know. It was kind of a gradual coming on sort of thing. It turns out it's a strained rotator cuff. And it's gotten worse and worse, and it's more of a motion thing. Like, when just sitting here, my shoulder doesn't bother me at all, but when I do certain motions, like push-ups, it hurts. And then, you know, before, I mean, I was kind of powering through it, just, you know, dealing with pain, whatever. But the more you use it, the weaker it gets. And, so I finally went to the doctor. I was like, hey, check this out. What's going on? And yeah, so by using it, I'm making it a lot worse. So, because my mentality is, you know, fuck it, power through it, get over it, you know, rub some dirt in it. You know, that's kind of my, you know, that's kind of my mentality when it comes to any sort of injury or whatever. Well, when it comes to your muscles, you don't really want to do that. You want to let them heal. And so I got on a profile so that I didn't have to do the push-up portion of the PT test, which is unfortunate because I always max out the push-ups and the sit-ups and the waist, for that matter. The only thing that gives me any sort of trouble is the run, because I absolutely hate running and I'm not good at it. But actually, this was the fastest I've ran out of like the last probably four or five tests that I've had. This is my fastest run. But even still, because they have to do a different calculation because you're exempt from one portion, I actually got a lower score than what I've got in probably the last, I don't even know, 5-6 tests. 83.22, I think, was my total score, which you just have to score, 75, I think,
yep,
to pass. So, yeah, I was well within, so it was all good.
But yeah, I know all about the 75 requirement because my body is always broken somehow.
Yeah, but I always, you know, like I said, I always max out the other portions, so I didn't get the full score that I would have gotten for the push-up portion, so it kind of dropped my overall score, even though I ran faster than what I normally do. So
it's pretty jacked up.
But, you know, hey, whatever. A pass is a pass, and that's my last
maybe
one.
Maybe you should have just rubbed dirt in it.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. I mean, right after this show, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find some dirt and rub it in there.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be hard to find dirt in New Mexico.
No, it's not.
But so speaking of dirt and snow, I've got a little correlation here. You know, when we grew up in Indiana, it would snow and they'd throw the salt out on the roads and, well, you could still drive. It'd be like 8 feet of snow and you could pretty much still drive like day two, right?
Uh-huh.
And here in Texas, at least on base, you know what their cure is?
Don't drive.
No, they just sprinkle dirt over everything.
Oh.
Like that's supposed to really help. So essentially what happens is you turn the snow you can't drive on into dirty snow you can't drive on plus rocks.
Oh.
And then once the snow does melt and evaporate and run off or whatever it's going to do, because it's Texas and that's what it's going to do, it becomes mud that you are driving on, flinging rocks. And that turns into dirt that's on the road that's causing the road to be slick again.
Well, that's awesome. That's a perfect solution. Good job, guys.
Yeah, that's.
Now, is that just on the base or that's everywhere in your area?
I notice it really heavily on base. Like every little bridge, overpass or a drainage that goes underneath the road or anything else, they dump it out, like dump it big time. Off base, they... When and where they have some sort of snow removal, I don't think they use dirt. I'm not sure what they use, but it's not effective at all. On I-20, which runs right north of Abilene, we had several accidents the other day during major traffic. Like, I don't say like rush hour, but there was constant traffic, and we had just been on the road like an hour before, and the road was clear.
Hmm.
You know, it's just there's no. You get just the slightest little bit of precipitation in any form, and the roads turn to crap, and the drivers turn to crappier. You know, it's just awful. So,
yeah, on the extremely rare occasions that we have snow on the ground here, yeah, people just drive like idiots and usually end up in ditches.
Yeah.
So most people just try not to drive when it's snowing here.
Yeah, I ended up spending half of last week driving my mom back and forth to work.
Mm.
Just part of it was because I wanted to make sure that, you know, that because I got my four-wheel drive truck, so at least if I slipped off the road, because the four-wheel drive didn't help you on the ice, but at least if I slipped off the road, I'd be able to have a chance of getting out.
Right,
yeah. Versus her Corolla.
Yep.
But more really, most of it was just the fact that her Corolla is coming up on a year old and doesn't have any scratches on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I like I can respect things that don't have scratches.
Yeah.
So
trucks are supposed to have scratches, right? It's like character traits for a truck.
Mine's got a couple scratches on the tailgate where I ran into some bushes when I was backing up one day because the bushes were there. And it's got some hail damage, some dents here and there. But
yeah,
I need to get those fixed before I leave for Korea, actually. So that's a trip to Dallas I get to make because the fucking idiots down here in Abilene can't fix it. how are you going to have... Okay, so here you go. Little mini rant right here. The hail damage that my truck incurred happened March of last year. No, happened May of last year because I just came back from my deployment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So May of last year, 10 months ago, roughly, my truck was hit with, you know, huge hail. It was like 4-inch, 5-inch hail. Nothing broke except for a taillight, you know, like who gives a shit, right? But it dented my roof in the A-frame, and it did some damage structurally to the truck, you know, to the body. I got on a waiting list here in Abilene at the Premier Auto Repair Shop or Body Repair Shop or whatever, the one recommended by my insurance company and everything else. And I got it on the list in June because it took a while for them to come out and do the appraisal, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on the list in June. I just called like 2 weeks ago, and I'm still about halfway down the list to get to me.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, completely ridiculous. Like how I don't, this paintless dent repair shit that they're doing, sure, it saves some money, but I'm driving around in a dented truck and getting ready to go to a different country, and my shit's still dented, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like $8,500 worth of repairs. They're going to replace the fucking roof. I'm not even sure how that works, but it's almost like, and the bad part is there's only one dent in the entire truck that has me concerned because it dented it along a crease. So it's like I can see the paint coming off right there fairly soon. But that's on the roof, which is the biggest part of the repair.
Yeah.
So like, pissing me.
Jeez. Man. So watch the TED Talk.
Oh, yes, TED Talks.
Yeah. This one I actually remember because I just watched it a couple days ago. and get this. I took notes.
You lying.
Yeah, I didn't wait till like 10 minutes before the show to take my notes on it.
I'm taking my notes now, so I can't say anything.
So no. The show that I watched is by a guy named Michael Rubenstein or Rubenstein. I think it's Rubenstein. Anyway, I'm pretty sure the guy is German. He's a PhD, and this dude, well, this guy, I think it's mainly him, but he's got a team that works with him, and they figured out how to do something freaking amazing. Okay, so the name of the talk is See Invisible Motion. What is it? See Invisible Motion, Hear Silent Sounds. So basically what they do is they use video in order to record sound. So like,
okay,
let's say
you're talking about like the refraction of glass and
yes,
and the plastic bags or whatever.
Yes.
Like that.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Tom Merritt had on Daily Tech News Show last year sometime. Like they mentioned it and how they talked about the fidelity and how it's getting better and all this stuff, but there was never really, I mean, they didn't have any, you know, like you could tell it was plain Mary Had a Little Lamb, but
yeah,
kind of barely, you know, like you wouldn't know what it was if you'd never heard it before.
Oh, see, I don't know. The TED Talk, the sounds that they were able to recreate with this thing were, yeah, lo-fi, I guess, but still good enough that you can tell what you're hearing. Definitely, Mary Had a Little Lamb, you definitely know the tune, you can hear it. Spoken voice, it sounds muffled, but you can get the gist of what's going on, especially if you're listening to a conversation, you can figure out what they're saying. If somebody just said one word, yeah, there might be some debate on what word he said. But, right. you know, several sentences strung together, yeah, you can. It's clear enough that you can figure out what he's saying. Really cool. So for people that aren't familiar with this, basically what it is it's a video camera that will record sounds being played in a room, but just by the video, you can take clues from the room. Okay, so let me back up a little bit. All right, if you've got a video camera that has basically high def recording capability, you can record very subtle things that you won't see with the naked eye. So you can see temperature changes based on very subtle color changes. So like if you're filming a person's face, for example, you will be able to see color changes in their skin.
Right.
Not on normal playback, not with the naked eye, but when they enhance the the colors and whatnot, it's very obvious. So you can see, for example, a pulse. So if you're filming someone's face, you can tell what their heart rate is because the enhanced colors, basically, you can see the change. So when the blood enters the face, and you can count the pulse, basically.
Right.
There's also very subtle movements that everybody's everybody's body does. So like for example, if you're focused on your eyes and you enhance the video with their software, you can see, even though that you think that you're looking at one spot and you're not moving your eyes, you will be able to see that your eyes are twitching. With their software, because it basically all it does is enhance. It's not changing anything. It's either drawing out the colors, like frame by frame, any movement. So like you've got a high def picture and the frame of where the camera is focused, right? If you move even a pixel to the left or right, that's detected, obviously. So what they do is they enhance it with the software. So when they play it back, instead of moving one pixel, it'll move, say, 20 pixels. So when you play it back, right. the movement is very exaggerated. It's not false.
Translate that into either heartbeats, or if they're looking at an object, an inanimate object in the room, they can tell the impulses of sound waves against the object.
Exactly. So because sound basically is just vibration, it's just vibration of the air particles basically that travels. Right. So if you've got some of the examples they used were a plant, like a house plant, a bag of potato chips sitting on a desk, glass, like a window in the background. I don't know, there's a few other things, but whenever there is sound in the room, everything in the room vibrates slightly. So again, if you enhance the movements, and then they have this, complicated software that figures out what that vibration would sound like. So they just apply all this stuff so that you can, by detecting these vibrations in these objects, you can recreate what the sound was in that room. That's
kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. First reaction was, oh my God, that is freaking awesome. Second reaction, Big Brother.
The second reaction is I don't want to have a cup of water sitting next to me when I'm having a private conversation near a window.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because anybody can be looking with a camera from hell a mile away with a telescopic camera, and oh look, the glass, the window is vibrating. You can have the blinds drawn, the window is still going to vibrate.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, I mean, you start getting into really complicated stuff, but the basics is they're taking visuals and making sounds out of them.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of scary stuff.
Yeah, pretty. It's really, really cool. And I don't remember a whole lot from the Daily Tech News Show stuff, but yeah, I remember being highly impressed by it, and I'm now gonna have to watch this TED Talk because I want to see what you saw and see it for my own eyes, because I never really did any research the first time. So
yeah, it's really cool. So it the link's gonna be in the show notes, but
yep.
Just go to, you know, the TED Talks and find Michael Rubenstein, or just look up sound on TED Talks and it'll come up.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
While you're there, if you want to, if you've grown to really appreciate TED Talks and the insight and the fresh ideas that they can provide, and maybe even some inspiration from them, go ahead and bring your world down just a touch and watch the Taylor Wilson video. Yep, I built a nuclear fusion reactor.
Wow.
Like, this kid, at the time of the talk, this kid is 17 years old, this Taylor Wilson. 17 years old. At the age of 14, he built a nuclear fusion reactor in his garage.
A fusion reactor?
A fusion reactor in his garage.
Isn't this what we were told in high school science class, that we were not able to harness, so therefore we are not going to use it as a power source?
Right. He still built one in his garage because, well, he could. It's a 4-minute TED Talk, and you get about 4 minutes worth of material. He doesn't actually reveal anything. He shows a couple of pictures. It's good to see. I mean, you know, he's a 17-year-old that built a fusion reactor, you know?
That's it. Wow.
Like, it doesn't add any particulars. It doesn't say how he did it or anything else, just that he's 17, and 3 years ago he built a fusion reactor in his garage. That's impressive, but I want to know more, and it left me really feeling unsatisfied.
You have intellectual blue balls.
Yeah, exactly. Intellectual blue balls. That's precisely what it was. A lot of promise in the title, and nothing to show for it. So, you know.
Oh man, see, that's disappointing.
It's kind of like voting.
Wow, you just gonna make that statement and then just let it hang?
Well, I don't understand.
Oh wow. Okay then. So speaking of,
do you actually think voting matters?
This is like a psychology
view.
Okay, go ahead.
This is my and I'm talking about voting in general political elections here in the United States. Okay.
Here we go.
If you want to know how it should work, go watch some CGP Grey videos. I'll actually throw one in the show notes as long as I remember.
I've seen that video actually.
He's got like 5 of them on how voting should work. It's pretty amazing. But here's how I feel about America's voting system. It's about as effective as the national treasury or the
Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve. Thank you. God, mind fart. It's voting in the primary elections is about as effective as the Federal Reserve. It makes you feel good that it's there, but in the end, you're just getting screwed a different way today than you were yesterday. Like, I so little faith in either one of those institutions. It's ridiculous.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I'm going to continue to support and defend the right to vote. Well, who am I kidding? Only for another couple months. There are a lot of issues with our electoral system. I don't know. Folks, educate yourself on it. I still encourage people to exercise their right to vote. Do it. I do think it's important, but yeah, the system could be much better. But speaking of crazy stuff, let's talk about last Thursday, February the 26th. What the hell?
Last Thursday, February the 26th.
Yeah, what the hell, man? The internet lost its damn mind. So first, So first,
okay. So tell me in which aspect you would like to approach this, because I know a few. So
okay,
bring it.
All right. Well, all right. So first, a couple llamas got loose near Phoenix, Arizona. I think it was Sun City. I think that's where it was. It was near Phoenix. A couple llamas got loose, which, okay, you know, livestock, that happens. You know, livestock get loose. But for some reason, a news helicopter decided to film the entire thing. It was like a, I don't know, 20-minute something like that, where these llamas were running through the streets or whatever, and people were trying to catch them.
This is what happens when you don't have OJ.
Yeah, well, the internet went absolutely insane over this. There were, you know, the Twitterverse exploded. Facebook was going nuts. Tumblr, Reddit, you name it. Memes, I mean, oh my God. Like, this is what the internet is now, is this.
And see, I was so buried in snow and winter weather that I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I was too busy, like, pulling cars out of the Arctic.
The Arctic that is Texas.
Yeah, it's the Arctic that is quickly becoming Texas.
Yeah, global warming.
The ironic part of that is that I drive a Tundra.
You know, I'm glad they changed the name of global warming to climate change, because now it makes more sense. Because now you don't have the, you know, the rednecks.
But it doesn't sound nearly as important, though, because the climate's always changing.
Right. Well, no, the it's weather, like, you know, the weather is more, always changing.
It's more digestible, but...
Yeah, the weather is always changing. The climate isn't always changing. We are... Anyway, that's a topic for another day. I've got other things to talk about. So
carry on with your llamas.
So, that's all I want to say about the llamas.
Speaking of llamas, I meant to have the little the clip for this, because I knew this shit would come up.
I've got it. Remember, it's going to be in the notes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Back in
1998, 1997, when Winamp came out.
It
came with exactly one track.
Yes, Winamp.
Winamp
really whips the llama's ass. Yeah, yes. Somebody made reference to that, and I lost it because I haven't thought about that in probably a decade and a half. Oh my God. Oh, amazing, amazing. Did you know, okay, you probably heard about those llamas. Did you hear about the ones in Washington? I guess there was a couple more llamas later that evening that escaped in Washington.
No way.
Yeah, well, they were only out for like a minute or two. Somebody got them, but yeah.
Somebody let them out. That's what happened.
Yeah, probably. But, so, anyway, all right. The internet was starting to get over the llama drama. And then
Wait. You can't say llama drama without hearing this.
Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass.
Oh my. That's
there
awesome.
There you go.
Winamp, folks.
Blast from 20 years ago.
Kids, ask your parents what Winamp was. Yeah, thank you, Anthony Carboni. That's an Anthony Carboni reference. Anyway. So, all right, so the internet got over the llama drama, only to have that replaced with a certain dress.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag the dress. Oh, my
God. So stupid.
Well, I thought so at first, but I actually think it's very interesting in a couple different levels, on a scientific level and also on a sociological level, because... Okay, for you guys that don't know what the dress is, just Google search hashtag the dress. There was this dress. Okay, there was a picture of a dress in a dress shop, and these two girls were arguing about what color the dress is. One girl said that the dress was blue and black. The other girl, I say girl, I think they were like in their 20s, whatever. The other girl said that the dress was white and gold. And they were arguing about, like, they thought that, like, they were both so certain that those were the colors of the dress that they thought the other one was fucking with them. So they posted, I think it was on Facebook where it originated. They posted the picture and said, "Settle this for us. What the hell color is this dress?" Well, that divided the internet right there, because about half the people saw it as blue and black, and the other half saw it as white and gold. And this was a real phenomenon, and there's science behind this. I'll get into that a little bit here in a second. But it was so divisive. People thought, because, like, for example, if I saw it as white and gold, and you were sitting here telling me that it's blue and black, I'm going to think one of two things. One, you're fucking retarded. Or
I'm fucking with you.
Yes, or you are fucking with me, and you need to fucking stop because I'm getting pissed about it.
All right, so let's just cut to the chase, man. What did you think?
When I first saw it, I saw white and gold.
What?
Yes. No. See? Exactly. So, all right. So,
No.
I saw was white and gold because I didn't even understand.
What were the other colors? Because that's what they were. I don't remember.
It was blue and black. Yeah, it was blue and black. Yeah, yeah.
No, they were totally blue and black. It was completely
right,
blue and black.
Right, right. No, well, what it turns, okay, it turns out.
You know what it was? I'll tell you what it was. It was a shitty cell phone. Yeah. That's what it was.
Well, that's probably
fuck
part
the
of
colors.
It.
It was a shitty cell phone.
That's probably part of it. Well, here's what happened. Okay, the dress is actually blue with black lacy trim. Okay. Now, when they took the picture, it was kind of in a poor lighting situation. And an interesting psychological thing that your brain does, because our eyes are not perfect by far.
Right, right. So it tries to compensate, right?
Exactly. You try to, you see something, like, for example, if you see a green object, right? And it happens to be, you know that the object is green, but it happens to have a shadow cast upon it. You know that the object is still green, but it does not appear the same color because there's less light reflecting off of it.
Right.
So our eyes don't really know what to do with that, so our brain kind of fills in the blanks. It's kind of like a computer reconstructing a JPEG compressed format.
It approximates what it fits should be or what it thinks should be there.
Exactly. And our brains all work differently. And when it comes to this particular color scheme, there's two large groups of people. One that reconstructs it as the correct colors of blue and black, and then the other group, because of the substitution of colors and you know, filling in the blanks or whatever, depending on how the external cues are, like, the light in the background and the light in the foreground and things like that, we'll reconstruct it differently, and we will see it as white with gold. So that alone is an interesting phenomenon. But
what I'm saying is, the chick buys the white and gold dress, walks outside, it's blue and black, but she needed a dress right then, so she went ahead and put it on in the store with, like, some fucked up boots, and now she's wearing like some communist flag or some shit, walking through the parking lot at the mall, not even realizing it until someone points it out, and then she's thinking she's wearing a different dress than what she bought.
Well, see,
it feels like a sitcom episode. I'm just saying.
Well, see, I don't think it would actually work that way, because I'm pretty sure that 99% of the population will see it as blue and black in person. It's just the way that the photograph was taken, with the lighting in the background and the light in the foreground, and the way this. The color scheme of this dress is, some people just saw it as white and gold. And I was one of those people. I saw it as, every time I looked at it, I'm like, what the fuck? What do you mean blue and black? I did not see blue and black at all until I went to show somebody. I think it was Stephanie. I think I was showing my girlfriend the picture, and I was bringing it up on Google Images, and I kind of started scrolling through the pictures. Because, if you just Google image search the dress, you're not only going to see what we're talking about here. So I started to scroll through, and as I saw the dress pass, I saw it as blue and black. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? So I scrolled back up to find that picture, and then I once again saw it as white and gold. What the hell's going on here? So I tried to do a few different things. If you kind of squint a little bit and kind of look at it a certain way, Yeah, I will absolutely see it as blue and black. But if I see it just in, you know, full light, full spectrum, yeah, it totally looks white and gold to me. It's the craziest phenomenon. And it's even crazier that it set, like, basically, it's basically split the internet in half about people being angry with the other half. It was insane.
So there you go.
Yes. See, right now, I see that as white and gold.
What? God. See, I don't know, man. I've never seen anything. To me, it looks blue and gold, to be honest. And I would just assume that the gold is black.
Yeah.
But again, it really comes down to the same thing that I said from the beginning. Shitty cell phone.
Yeah.
That's, like, well, friends don't let friends have shitty cell phones. If you have enough money to debate about the colors of a dress and put that shit on the internet and go fucking viral with it, you have enough money to have a decent damn cell phone. Like something, anything made in, I don't know, this decade, and you're fine. Like, this looks like it was made, it was taken from, like, I don't know, my 2008 Razor.
Oh my God. Razor. You know? That was the hotness back then.
So shitty.
Yeah.
All right.
So those two crazy things going on that really, okay, whatever, but they engrossed the internet like all day. One of those two things. But neither one of those were the true story of the day.
Oh, I'll tell you what the true story of the day is.
What was it?
I'll show you right here. Let me click on this. Let's show you what the true story of the day is. You ready? That.
All I see is, oh, what do we have here? We've got a picture of Rihanna.
Yes.
Rihanna's dress.
Yes.
That is a manufactured wardrobe malfunction, it looks like.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see a problem with it. Just saying.
But also, right, not the story of the day that I was getting around to.
Oh, I thought you meant the story of today. Oh, my bad.
Oh, no. That was okay. no, but for last Thursday, February the 26th,
oh,
crazy,
yeah, okay,
internet
back
day.
In the time machine.
Yeah, the internet was going nuts, but the internet should have been paying attention to the real story of the day, which was FCC decided that they would implement Title II and treat the internet as a telecommunication service, as opposed to
as a public utility.
Yes. Which is a, on the surface, that is a huge win for the net neutrality side of the argument.
Right. But by the time you get there, you've already trudged your way through so many caveats and everything else. It's still convoluted as hell.
Exactly. But if we are going to get to the neutral internet, which we already fucking have, but if we get into the... you know, enforcing and maintaining and ensuring for the future kind of net neutrality sort of thing, I guess this is kind of the crucial first step.
I get, this is definitely sort of a step in the right direction.
Right.
I don't know enough about it and enough legalese and everything else to say if it's a big enough step or if it's just a baby step. I'm not sure. But I can definitely see how this is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, the two main things about this, the two killer points on this, is one, it kills the possibility of fast lanes or slow lanes. So you, yep, can't pay to have your content delivered faster or more efficiently. And it provides the foundations to get rid of laws that keep municipalities from enacting their own broadband services. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't change the last mile stuff. You know, if you're on Comcast and that's what's going to your house, you can't say, well, it's not net neutrality, you have to let another cable company use your stuff. It doesn't go that far, which, uh-huh. you know, it kind of guaranteed that it wouldn't. So it's basically Title II with provisions.
Yeah. Well, one of the main things about net neutrality for me and the not throttling, not, you know, no slow lane and all that kind of crap. One of the reasons that that's important to me, important to us, is that we're just a little teeny tiny podcast that is trying to get our name out there, trying to do something with this thing. If they're going to start throttling and slow laning and all this kind of crap, we don't stand a chance. We're going to get bogged down by, you know, Netflix or whoever decides that they want to throttle their content. We can't afford to do that. So, right. If you're enjoying this podcast, you like watching the show, listening to us or whatever, a neutral internet is what allows us to have our voices heard, to have, you know, to present our content to you. We're just the little guy. There's no way we can keep up with the major corporations. And I'm afraid that if we don't keep the internet neutral, that's what's going to happen. Everything is going to be corporate. Massive entities are going to force feed you what they want you to hear. And that has all sorts of dangerous implications. And not just our show, I'm not just saying it, you know, from a selfish standpoint. I mean, one of the things that makes the internet great is we can get opinions and viewpoints from anywhere on the planet. Anybody, well, not everyone has the same freedoms, you know, North Koreans, right. And, you know, even China is not completely Chinese, free.
India.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places, but theoretically, anyway, anybody on the planet can send a tweet, can upload a YouTube video. That is the beauty of the internet. Everyone has a voice.
It was designed to be open and rewritable and survivable.
Yep.
Let's keep it that way.
I think that's very, very, very important. And
yeah, agreed.
If Title II is what it's going to take to ensure that, I'm all for it. Like you said, there are so many intricacies and nuances and caveats, and they're, you know, the lawyers have it now, so it's going to get convoluted and crazy.
The SEC is going to get sued about 14 different ways. They're going to try every possible thing that they can try to get it or at least certain aspects of it killed so that it benefits them. And really, I think Tom Merritt brought it up that this doesn't necessarily save the it was on Tech News Today, or not Tech News Today. Wow, Daily Tech News Show.
Oh, wow.
One of the people that called in or wrote in or whatever mentioned that it's not the everyman that really gets saved in this, and it wasn't really the everyman that stopped it by their comments and all that other stuff. It is the big tech companies. We're talking Google, Apple, Yahoo, Microsoft. Those companies spent a lot of money lobbying against the cable companies and broadcasting companies in order to get this the way it is. So whoever bought the lunch that tilted, good on you.
Yep, yep.
So
exactly.
All right. I gotta ask, man. We got this little thing in here, and maybe I missed it, but what the hell's Roll 20?
That's my geeky thing of the week. Lucas, my oldest son, as I've talked about several times before, he's really starting to get into Dungeons and Dragons. And being a kid of the, oh my God, I almost said the aughts. We are now in the teens, the 20-teens. Oh my gosh. But yeah, being a kid of the 20-teens.
Old alert.
He is very much a child of the internet. And he discovered a tool where he can play Dungeons and Dragons with his friends. Basically, like if you and I were to play D&D over a Skype connection or a Google Hangout connection, Roll 20 is an environment like that designed specifically for gaming.
Wow.
It's really freaking cool. There's going to be a link in the show notes. It's a virtual tabletop specifically set up for gaming, for role-playing games. You basically, when you first go there, let's say you're the DM and you start a new campaign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've got a basic blank grid map or grid, what do you call it? It looks like graph paper. You remember the old days you used to draw your dungeon maps and whatnot on graph paper? Right. That's kind of what you're presented with. You've just got a basic grid. And you can make this as simple as you want or as complex as you want, where you can overlay things onto this grid. You can upload pictures. You don't even have to upload your own media. You can go to it and say, you know what? I want a forest. So you can click on the little thing there. It'll bring up hundreds of these images of forest that you can overlay onto this thing.
Nice.
Same with, a town setting or a cave or a dungeon or you name it. There's tokens which can represent anything from, your players to your NPCs to, monsters, whatever you want it to be. And again, you can upload your own images or you can use any of the stuff that they have in there, which is the media. There's thousands of pieces of media that you can use for this thing. It's got die rollers. It's got ambient music that you can play, and you can select like a certain moods. Like you can have like, okay, we're at a pub. That's the cliche start of an adventure. Your adventurers meet, your players meet in a pub somewhere,
right?
And then the crazy old wizard walks in and presents them with that's kind of the cliche thing. But you can have this sort of the minstrel playing in the inn, whatever. You can have that playing in the background. And then when the evil soldiers barge into the pub, and now you got to fight, you can change it to a different kind of music, and now you're nice. Now this is this battle music, whatever.
Is this a free thing?
It is completely free.
Oh, see, that's
and golden. you can bring in, you can invite your players just like you do to a Google Hangout or a Skype conversation or whatever. You invite your friends into this thing. It's even got video. You can have a little window in the corner so you can actually see your players. You don't have to use that feature. You can use text-based chat. You can use a mixture of both. Like I said, there's die rolls. It'll automatically generate die rolls. This can be as simple as you want or as complex as your imagination wants it to be.
Very cool.
The guys that set this thing up, and I think it was a Kickstarter. Don't quote me on that because it may or may not be true. Which Kickstarter, I want to talk about that maybe next week. Kickstarter is really freaking cool. but I love the idea of crowdfunding. But anyway, check it out, man. If you're into gaming at all and you want to game with people that are not in the same room, like if you and I, even, I'll be in New Mexico, you'll be in Korea, and we want to get a game going, dude, we're going to Roll20. Super, super cool. I don't have the address right now. Like I said, it's going to be in the show notes, but just Google Roll, R-O-L-L, 20, the numbers, 20, Roll20. Super cool app. Way awesome. If you're into gaming and you got friends that aren't living near you and you want to game with them, dude, this is the way to go.
Or someone just wants to call in because they got the flu?
Yeah, or that. Yeah, you could totally do that because you could have the game going on, have a camera pointed at it, and have your sick buddy.
See,
oh, so cool.
I see one major detractor here, though, man.
What's that?
You're not going to have a community stockpile of room temperature Mountain Dew. You could, but you'd each have to have your own stockpile.
Yeah, it'll just be separate stockpiles.
Gosh. Yeah.
But no, that's
depressing. But really on the flip side, no one would be there to eat my fruit, my Funyuns.
Good point. Good point.
I guess those two balance each other out. All right, I'll give you that. All right, so my geeky thing of the week this week, I can't believe I never did it before. It's really an amazing read, but only if you're interested in the subject. Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time. Started reading it. I'm actually reading the second revision, or I guess the first revision, the second edition. It's got a few things updated. It's still from the like 98 or something like that. But man, it's just the way that it's written and the way that it kind of brings things. It's a slow roll with a huge payoff, and it's really good. So that's my geeky thing of the week this week. I started reading that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Definitely.
Immediately after that is going to be Universe in a Nutshell. I've got that one as well, so we'll see how it goes.
Very cool. Those are definitely on my to-read list. They're kind of far down there because I've gotten behind.
I picked them both up at Sam's for like $10.
Nice. But yeah, they're kind of far down there because my list is growing, and I haven't been reading nearly as much as I wish I was. So they're probably like numbers 10 and 35 or something like that on my list. So it's going to be a minute before I get to them.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying, man. I've still got to finish a Song of Ice and Fire, or at least catch up to a Song of Ice and Fire. And I've got a whole podcast waiting for me to read four chapters of a book that I just can't find time to read. So
yeah.
I understand completely.
Yep, I feel your pain, man. This podcast, the attention that I give to this podcast pretty much fills up all the nooks and crannies of my free time.
And that's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, I'm a busy guy. So I'm trying to free up more time here and there as I can. So yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. One thing that we do know is going to happen, unfortunately, is certain people passing away of variable importance in our lives. This past week, we lost an individual who I thought was a bit typecasted, although he played the parts that he played exceptionally well. And I have one particular fond memory of him that I will share after you say what you need to say. We lost Spock, like, permanently.
Yeah. Leonard Nimoy passed away at the age of 83 last Friday. That's really sad. I really love Leonard Nimoy, not just because of he's Spock. I mean, that's why we know him, because he was Spock. But the man was more than Spock. Not only did he act in other things, but he was also a musician. He was a poet, a little bit of a philosopher. He was a gentle soul, an artistic, beautiful, gentle soul, that wanted to share art and beauty with the world.
Right.
And he passed away on Friday. He'd been sick from a lung disease. He was diagnosed with right about a year ago, like almost exactly a year ago. Did you happen to see his final tweet?
I did not. I was actually about to look that up.
Yeah, it's been retweeted and reposted about a billion times, I think, by now. It was actually really cool. Hopefully you can find it, because I didn't add this into my notes. Hopefully you can find it. It's a really beautiful thing. If only we could all be so lucky, our final social media post be something so poignant and so fitting and so beautiful. Because
you know what I don't want to happen? If I die, do not sit there and have a whole bunch. Do not take control of my account and retweet thousands and thousands of things. If only for this right here. This is annoying.
Yeah, because I'm afraid that my final tweet or my final Facebook post or something is just going to be something ridiculous, like you know, I farted today. It is spelled gross, you know, or some, I don't know, or like, oh man, did, you know, I really thought that the dress was white and gold, but my asshole buddy swears that it's blue and black, and and then I die, you know, like that's, you know, yeah.
His last tweet was, a life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved except in memory. LLAP.
Yeah. LLAP, for those not in the know, is live long and prosper, which was Spock's thing as the Vulcan.
His key phrase.
Yep. And
I wonder if he added that to the show or if the writers actually wrote that in.
No.
Interesting bit of trivia.
No, LLAP, he was signing all of his tweets that way.
No. I mean, like on the show, on Star Trek, the original show.
Oh, yeah. I think that was actually a Gene Roddenberry thing. I think he wrote that.
That'd be an interesting bit of trivia.
Yeah. I'm not certain of that. So, you know, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it was Roddenberry.
So my, and I'm going to shoot, I'll share a link to this as well. Bruno Mars has a song called The Lazy Song.
Yeah.
And there's two versions of the video. In the original version, it's got him with a bunch of people dressed as monkeys, and it's entertaining and stuff like that. In the alternate version, it has Leonard Nimoy going through the course of his day, and he's basically playing what you think of Leonard Nimoy. Like, there's no humor. There's everything's bitter. He goes to the grocery store, tells off a little kid, takes a whiz in his yard, in the, you know, front yard at like 8 o'clock in the morning. The neighbors are trying to say hi. He answers fan mail. You know, it was an interesting look, and I'm sure, you know, it only came out what, maybe 4 years ago or so. Very, very entertaining, and I thought it was just perfect. And it's actually my favorite thing that he ever did. And I'm not a Star Trek uber fan, but I can watch some Star Trek. I mean, that's what I grew up on and stuff, you know. So I'd rather watch Star Wars, but, you know, that's personal preference.
Yeah, yeah.
But Leonard Nimoy, he just that is kind of a one of those class act moments. Like, you really solidify that you own your perception or your people's perception of you. You know, it was great. Have you seen the video?
That one, no, I don't think I have. I've forgotten about it.
No, this is not a video you forget about.
Okay, then no, I haven't seen that. The most recent thing that I can recall from him that I really latched onto and I really loved, I think it was a Super Bowl commercial from last year. I'm not certain of that. But he was with Zachary Quinto, who plays Spock in the new series.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Siler, yes. from Heroes. Yeah. And it's the two of them together. I think it was a car commercial.
Yes, it was a car commercial.
Yeah, and it was a really cool. Look it up. It's a really cool, funny.
I'll find both of them on YouTube and link them in the show notes.
Yeah, and what I think is really cool. I mean, you know, now in retrospect, looking at it, Zachary Quinto got really close to Leonard Nimoy when he got the role for Spock. He had a lot of conversations with him and meetings with almost said Spock, with Leonard Nimoy, to talk about the character. And, you know, Quinto really wanted to, you know, take ownership of that role and like do it justice, and really, you know, he wanted to take what Leonard Nimoy did with the character and build upon it. And I think he's done a really good job with the character in the two movies that they made. But out of that, he developed a strong friendship with Leonard Nimoy. And man, I wish I would have taken this in my notes as well. But he wrote something really, really nice and a beautiful thing about Leonard Nimoy very recently after his passing. So anyway, something else to look for.
I kind of see Leonard Nimoy as the real life opposite of the real life William Shatner. like Leonard Nimoy is this old guy that you could talk to, that's got stories, could make you laugh, and at the end of the day, he'd walk away not knowing who the hell you were, but wouldn't give a shit.
Whereas
William Shatner's like, he's all about himself. He wants to be, he wants to make sure the impression is felt on you. Doesn't give a shit what impression you're going to make on him. And at the end of the day, he walks away knowing exactly who you are because he wants to make sure that he's one step ahead of you.
You know? Yeah, that's kind of the impression I get. Yeah. Shatner's kind of a diva, I think. Yeah.
The my cool memory about him is being in the fanboy.
I have no idea what Fanboys. Oh, that, okay. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Fanboys. That's probably the coolest thing he ever did.
Shatner's got, he's got little cameos here and there that are kind of funny, but yeah, it, okay.
Listen to George Takei and his edited versions of what he feels about William Shatner. Like he won't say the name William Shatner, but you know who he's talking about. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Speaking of George,
he can't stand him.
Yeah. Speaking of George Takei, though, he said some really beautiful things about Leonard Nimoy as well. So check out his
comments. That's actually how I found out about it. I was in the doctor's office waiting. I was bored and waiting and checked my Facebook because I never check it.
Yeah.
And checked my Facebook, and that was the top post at the time was George Takei.
Yeah. Every time I log into my Facebook, which is similar to you, it's kind of a rare thing. Every time I log in, the first thing that pops up at the top of my feed is always George Takei. Always. 100, not most of the time, 100% of the time, yeah. George Takei's stuff is on top.
And other than his riddles that make you go to some Amazon link that you never quite understand, they're all worth it.
They are. He's awesome. If you're not following George Takei on social media, what the fuck is wrong with you? Do it right now.
If I can find it, I will put in the show notes his show where he was on Penn Jillette Sunday School. It was basically an hour and a half interview with George Takei talking almost nothing about Star Trek or TV or anything else. Yeah. It was all about George Takei's history and the World War II and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's got
amazingly interesting.
Yeah, he's got a very interesting life. He was in a camp during World War II when they put all the
Georgia or something like that.
Yeah, when they took all the Japanese and
Japanese internment camp. He is an American citizen born and raised in America.
Yep.
He's a first generation American from Japanese immigrant parents, and he was actually spent like 2 years or something like that in a Japanese internment camp in like Georgia.
Yeah.
Living in squalid conditions. And, you know, and at the end of it, he's still very happy to be in America and very happy of his heritage and the fact that he lives here and is an American. Really an amazing person. We've gotten completely off topic.
Yeah, we did. But I would love to have, he's probably in my top 10 list of people to have a beer with. That would be an amazing thing.
Not even an interview, just to sit back and just talk to.
Yes, real quick. I just want to make one more Leonard Nimoy thing. Did you ever hear the song that he did about Bilbo Baggins?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, the link is going to be in the show notes. I don't even want to say anything more about it. Just watch the video. Just
going in blind. Got it.
Just do that. It's amazing. So Leonard Nimoy, rest in peace. We love you, sir. We miss you.
Yeah. Dig it. So. All right, man. I got a couple of things I want to talk about this week. We were running long as hell. I hope this is just as fun for the listeners as it is for us. This is our new format, by the way. We thought about it and we worked it last week. And having a single topic that we try to get really in depth on is just not quite our thing, I don't think.
No.
So, folks, that's why we're still in beta. We are going to. That's gonna be my line every time we fuck something up.
Yeah.
That's why we're still in beta.
Exactly.
That's why we'll never be out of beta. I actually got a chance to watch Night Attack last night live. That's Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood's little show. I say little show. It's pretty big.
Little show. Yeah, it's huge now.
But I actually got a chance to watch that live last night. And, of course, I have since... Okay, there it is. And one of the things they wanted to do, they had a clip. I didn't get to see the beginning of the show, so I don't know where the clip came from. But it was a clip about some cartoon character saying, but how could this have been done? And, like, they just kept playing it. You know how they do.
Yeah.
And this is awesome. I have to look it up now because it's been deleted. So
yeah, and the show has not hit the feeds yet. So I do not have it right yet.
It's on Patreon if you want to be a patron or a patron of them, by the way.
It's probably on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, you think so?
But most of the podcasts that I listen to them on the way to and from work, and it's the audio only versions of the podcast. Yeah.
So essentially, it came out to they wanted all their Scam School videos, the videos from Brian Brushwood's Scam School project, to have, but how could this have been done as like the top comment on all of them, right? So I put that on his latest Scam School video because, I mean, I was watching and I was already like looking up some other shit, and so I just put that on there. No sense of pride in the fact that I was first person on there. That didn't matter. What matters to me is somebody replied to that with, it's just a simple displacement trick or whatever. Like, they went into this conversation. Like, they were basically dissing me like I was the idiot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, you were making the in joke, and the guy that thinks he's in wasn't.
Yes.
In. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Like.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was awful. And I was gonna put the person on blast a little bit because I just don't give a damn. but I can't. I can't find it right now. So there it is. There it is. Right there. Yeah, they went and see the view all comments. Basically, they were like, it's just a, oh, damn it, stop. Jerk. But yeah, they said it's just a simple displacement trick. If you watch the video, he explains it. Which, I mean, that's kind of the point of the whole Scam School video line. He shows the trick to people, you know, cons them into it or whatever. And then explains it to them so that they can do it to other people.
Right.
Yep. You know, that's what he does. And I thought it was just funny as hell that someone came through to me like that when, yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, wow.
yeah, it was great. And then, so we're going to South by Southwest.
Yes.
We are going to be official. We've got travel arrangements paid. Yeah, we've bought plane tickets. We've got Airbnb, which we had a great deal on a room, and then they let the deal expire. I'm sure that was on purpose because right after that, the price went up $50 a night.
Oh, it's the Austin Lottery. Haven't you heard? I think it's called the Austin Lottery.
Yeah.
The South by Southwest is coming to town. Let's auction off our shit, man.
Yeah.
It's the time of the year to get rich.
Got another one, and they never replied. They haven't adjusted the price of the room, so I'm not thinking that they, you know, did it intentionally, whatever. Finally, the third one did. So we're gonna be sleeping. Well, we'll be passed out.
Most likely.
It's about 2 miles. 2 miles from Sixth Street. So it's like an hour walk according to Google, but it's only like a 7 minute drive. So I'm thinking a cab ride would just be the best way to go.
Hour walk? Yeah. What the fuck? Because 2 miles takes an hour to walk.
It's 2.6 miles, and apparently by Google, it takes 56 minutes to walk.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how
are the average person like 5 foot tall that are doing, but anyway, so yeah, we'll end up cabinet, cruising, but we will be at South by Southwest. We will also be definitely attending South by So Wasted.
Oh yeah. Yes.
In fact, if only because South by So Wasted was the impetus of us going, you know, that was the thing that we decided, well, this is what we have to go for.
Yeah.
And that'll be at the Handlebar on Saturday the 14th from 3 to 6. They got some people, the Possum Posse and Dual Core Music and DJ Tropics will be performing. It looks to be a pretty good time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're going to have as many people as they had last year as far as the stars, Veronica Belmont, Tom Merritt. But Justin Robert Young will be there, and Brian Brush will be there. I'm sure there'll be a whole bunch of the Diamond Club there. And, man, we will be part of that right there. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I did it wrong.
You're doing it wrong, dude. You got to at least do it right. Like,
there we go. Something like that.
Flip a hand. Flip a hand, Jackass. Flip a hand. Like.
Ah. Yeah. Anyway.
For the audio listeners, Kent's dumb.
Yeah. A little bit. I'm kind of slow, man.
You need to cut back on the blood in your alcohol system.
Yeah. I need to stop spinning those pot coins.
That
I referenced in the
South by Southwest. we will be at South by Southwest. If you are also at South by Southwest, please email us podcast@ritualmisery.com, and we'd love to sit down and have a beer with you.
Hell no, I'm not checking my email while I'm at South by Southwest. Tweet me at @rm_delnoche, and then I will know that you're there, and then we can meet up somewhere.
I don't know. You know what? Just find a way to reach us, because I'm at Ethan Kane on Twitter, and I can't guarantee that I won't be exclusively using Foursquare while I'm there, because that's where I initially picked up in the first place.
That's where Foursquare was announced. Yeah, was it South by Southwest?
It was, and it's amazing the things that you can find in Foursquare that aren't announced anywhere else, like just by seeing what people around you are doing. So there's no guarantee in any of that. We do have a bunch of I RSVP'd for everything that was free and sounded halfway interesting, but there's a few things left we have to discuss. So we'll do that after the show.
Yep.
We did get a little bit of feedback from one of our longtime listeners, Mr. Richard Gunther. He said last week's episode we finally got the audio figured out to where it actually sounded good.
that's good.
Which is impressive.
We're only 25, 26 episodes in. It's about damn time.
Like we're still in beta.
Yeah, so. So it's all good still. We're still in the test phase. So, yeah.
But that being said, you need to listen to Home On, and you need to follow Richard at What Impresses Me. That's his little sarcastic handle on the Twitters. And from there, you can find all of his other ones. Very funny individual, and we are going to hook up with him down at South by Southwest and have some beers. And we've already had some communications about that. So
right on,
very awesome. That kind of wraps it up, though. That's really the meat and potatoes of tonight's episode.
All right, it only took us an hour and a quarter to do it.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Hey. We're only doing this once a week, so you might as well get as much ritual misery as you can.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, you're just going to be in your own misery. And
you'd rather do it with us on a weekly basis?
Yes.
That's the meaning of ritual misery, right?
Yes,
there.
Yes. Ritually sharing our misery.
Yes.
Or
one day like we're going to have to get to the bottom of the ritual misery name, what originally came out of, and
what it has come to mean.
Why we keep it.
Yeah.
All right, so
you know what? We need to do an episode where it's just like backstory, like this is where our handles came from.
Are you foreshadowing the backstory?
Maybe.
Maybe we can do that down at South By, because
yes, and that's probably gonna happen. We will probably record. It's probably not gonna be broadcast live.
Yeah,
and it might not be posted on time, but we are probably going to record, if not a full episode, at least segments for an episode.
Yes. Yeah. That being said, there may not be a show next week. There may not be a show next week. It kind of depends on how things are going with us getting wrapped up. And because Kent, you're flying here, then we're driving down there. I don't want to make any promises about a show next week.
We'll probably record a show. It just might not be posted for a while. So we'll see. More to come.
It kind of depends on the family situation as well, because we're gonna be gone an entire like a 4-day weekend. So
yeah,
you know, we may trade the Wednesday night recording time for the 4-day binge time.
Yeah,
seems fair.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So that all being said, if you are going to be the South by, let us know. Get in touch with us.
Absolutely.
So, we can sit down and have some drinks.
Yep.
All right. Some public announcements real quick. I know everybody's driving and they're sitting in the parking lot and they're like, God damn, if these guys would just shut up, I can go into work. we changed the site. The logo's up. The new logo that we agreed on, that took me like 3 weeks to design because it just didn't feel right until finally it clicked and it was good. For not being a graphic artist, I think I did pretty damn good job.
Much better than I could have done, for sure. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and we got some different color schemes, things like that. We'll experiment with that. But the one that's there now is kind of the common theme for all podcasts we do together or individually or whatever else under the Ritual Misery flag. So that's up. The site is up. The site's colors are changed up a little bit because, the old ones didn't fit with the logo. All the other media outlets will be converted shortly, as soon as I can get off my lazy ass and get them done. If you have comments or complaints or anything like that, feel free to leave it on the site. I did open up the page for the military interests to start getting some information, some stories, and some answers and some questions and things like that for unique situations of the military family.
Yeah,
whether that family is you and your folks back home, or you and your wife and you're separated from deployments, or you know, whatever the case is, I want to start gathering those stories and start getting those shared out so that the next generation of people can learn from our experiences, not just in the service, but as far as how our families go and how the interactions and the troubles that we face, so that you don't have to, you know, break new ground every time something new comes up.
Yep. And that's absolutely important to both of us. And yes, we want to share your stories and we want to, you know, share solutions or alternatives to, you know, maybe make situations better or whatever. But I want to add to that, if you have a story or a problem that you want to share with us, but you don't want it broadcast to the public at large, do that too. If you got something, you're like, oh, you know what? I'm pretty sure these guys know what they're talking about because of, you know, they said such and such or whatever. Let us know that stuff. And, you know, if you want it to be discreet just between us, we will totally do that too, because it's, the whole idea is to help, and that's priority one. If you need some help from a military perspective, that's our first priority when it comes to that. Get you the help.
And the only thing we're not going to help with is civilian ex-spouses and people in the midst of divorce. If you're a civilian on the side of the fence, don't talk to us.
Yeah, if you're the military member going through a divorce, he and I have lots of advice for you.
it is what it is. We have our experiences, and there's just some bridges we don't want to cross. So maybe in the future we'll get another host, and they'll have a different perspective on that. But as of right now,
sure,
don't bother. that is one topic. Well, one aspect of one topic we're not necessarily going to touch.
Yeah, and you know, and this thing, I mean, if this grows into something larger, this could become a podcast all on its own very easily and very quickly, probably. So, you know, time allowed, participation pending, you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to try to address it here for now.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll see where it goes. It might grow into its own thing.
And additionally, if you're a listener out there or a watcher on the old YouTubes, and you feel like ranting about something, rant it, record it, send it in to podcast@ritualmisery.com. or just our voicemail number, 567-69-TRMPC. Go ahead and just leave us a voicemail, and we will sanitize it for names, but not for content. I'll disguise your voice, and we're going to start gathering some of those up because we know a lot of very, very frustrated people, and we'd love to provide an outlet, especially if it's a humorous one that we can all share with and laugh at. So no holds barred. Nothing is off limits as far as that goes. Yep. Everything is free game. If there's names dropped, I will bleep those out or cut them out or whatever. And I will disguise all the voices, so it'd be like watching 2020 on TV, where the person's behind the black or behind the light or whatever, and you can't see them and you can't really tell what their voice is. So yeah, I want to do that because I think that's gonna be really fun. And plus, I have stuff I want to say.
Yep, let the anger flow through you. Yes, just let it out, man.
I could just spend a weekend off Zoloft and stuff would just be going crazy. All right, y'all, that is our show. You can find Kent on the Twitter at @RM_DelNoche. Yep. That'll be his primary course of communication for next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but next weekend.
Yep.
He'll probably be drinking some beers down there that he's never had before. That's the hope anyway.
Looking forward to it.
You can find his reviews of those on ratebeer.com, username Del Noche. And I've got a link to that so you can just find him directly in there.
Yep, yep.
And you can always find me at Ethan Kane with on the Twitter. You can follow the show at Ritual Misery. Kent, is there anything else that you want to pimp?
No, that's it for now, man.
Good, good, good. Ritualmisery.reddit.com is where you can submit your ideas for the show and ideas for topics and comment on some of the stuff that we've put in there. podcast@ritualmisery.com. If you haven't gathered by now, you can go there and email us anything that you want. Kent's over there drinking good beers. His return to form. And you can find of course our home on the web, ritualmisery.com. It's got all kinds of great information on there, little information about Kent and I, and every episode that we've ever recorded is on there, plus a couple other things. So you can find that on there. And you can find different ways to support the show between affiliates, Amazon, iTunes, and a little Patreon action. You can go there, figure out exactly how you want to support the show, and it's all up to you. Whether you have $1 million you want to give us, or if you just want to email us some ideas, either way, we're good with it. We want to make this a community effort, so go ahead, man.
Or just give us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. 5 stars would be great. But you know, hey, if we're a 3 or 4, you know, go ahead and hit that up too.
And that link is already on the page. So go ahead and click on that and give us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that as well. And of course, there's always the voicemail. If you'd like to call and give us a voicemail, it's 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Our theme music comes courtesy of the awesome Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening. For me, for Kent, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya. Oh shit, I just realized I was doing this whole creepy thing while you were talking, and they can't see me because you're the one in focus, so I was doing it for an audience of 0.